and 5.5 million on the European tour. BBC News.
Now the first episode of our classic serial, Gargantua and Pantagruel by Rabelais. A cartoonish, exuberant romp concerning the excesses of medieval giants, and like the adjectives the author gave his name to, it contains earthy language and bawdy humour.
Bon santé! To life, to carnival, to abundance. Here's a toast to you, my lusty listeners.
Gargantua and Pantagruel by François Rabelais, dramatised by Lavinia Murray. Episode 1.
Life is not for the easily offended, and neither are my stories. So quaff, laugh, and cuddle up close, because I'm going to tell you about giants. Why? Because they're excessive. Almost as soon as the whirly began, Cain murdocked his brooder Abel. The Urda was fertilized by the blore of the innocent, the cronked calcium of the jostled. Every throng flourished. There was a humper harvest, especially of meddlers. Oh, that is sufficient for biliousness, François, I hear you say. Kindly reverb to the common denominator. And did I say meddler, as in open-arse fruits? I did. Meddlers, nourished by the blood of the murdered, cause engorgement. But what swells varies from person to person. Everybody ate the meddlers and swelled. Some gained giant shoulders. Some men gained giant members, passing it 17 times about their waists. Oh, they grew marvellous, long, fat, lusty, crested, spooming in full sail. You would have mistaken these champions for knights with their lances settled on their rest, ready to run at the ring or tilt. Others grew enormously in ballocks. Three of them would fill a sack. Others grew in the legs, and you would have thought they were herons or ostriches or men on stilts. In others, their noses grew. Others grew ears so big you could have made a tailored suit out of them with matching raincoat, waterproofed by natural waxes. Others grew in length of body, and out of these came the giants. My story begins with a giantess called Queen Gargamel, wife to King Grangousier. Grand Gousier and Gargamel are entertaining friends in the castle's fine willow grove whilst they await the birth of their first child.
Ooh, ooh, felt a pang then. Waters haven't broken yet, but that was definitely a contraction. Oh, where's that great lunk wandered off to? Grand Gousier! Grand Gousier! Oh, I'll have a little nibble at this tripe. Oh, you know what? I'll have a little bit more.
I shall be your father soon.
You have the easy part, my love.
Drink what you want, friends. And this vast mound of tripe needs eating. You've gone off by tomorrow.
Oh, delicious, Gangoulio, my love. Where's it from?
Vichy, le pays des vaches.
It's the best tripe I've ever tasted.
Don't eat too much, sweetness. It'll make you cack.
Well, I'll do that anyway, dear.
There are degrees of cacking, my dear. You don't want tripe belly, not when you're a ripe belly.
No. Ha, ha, ha.
Let us submerge ourselves in the wonderful comfort of Gargamel's womb. Careful. Ease yourselves alongside this wonderful unborn child, this marvellous 11-month-old fetus, the hero of my first tale. Oh, here he is, inverted and ready to squeeze himself into the world. But wait a minute, the nitpickers among you are saying Gargamel is 11 months pregnant. 11 months? Just how many pregnant women have you known, Monsieur Rabelais? I'm a doctor. I've dissected a fair few. 11 months is an indication of the care nature has lavished on the creation of this child. Oh, he's waking up. Shh, hide.
Hello? Can anyone hear me? What the heck's this? It looks like a length of rope.
Clever boy. He's found his umbilicus.
It's attached to something. Me! It's attached to me. And on the other end of the rope, there's a beret. Oh, I've grown my own beret.
Clever boy. He's found his placenta. Listener, you will never wear a beret without acknowledging your time in the womb with your placenta on your head.
Drink. Good idea.
Yes, he's drinking the amniotic fluid. Have a little sip if you like.
It's a bit bouillabaisey.
It is.
Where's the floor gone? What's this gaping hole?
If I were you, I'd stick my head down and see where it goes.
You would?
Definitely.
But it leads to out there, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, I like being here. I don't know what's out there. I'm a bit, you know, it's scary.
You need have no fear. It's wonderful out there. And I'm making a rather nice story for you.
Oh, well, in that case. Oh, great. Thanks. Stuck.
I'll grab your legs. Pull you back up.
Oh, was that a trick?
No. Don't stop trying to get out. Your birth is going to be rather special.
Oh, it's hot. I'm moving into the shade. Look who's making a fool of himself again, wobbly thing. Talking of wobble, I'll take a bit of tripe with me for sustenance.
Or food, or swill. Somebody watch the wife. Make sure she's not stuffing herself with tripe, or she'll get the khaki cat-cacks.
You mind your own business. I'll eat what I like, thank you very much. And it's your fault I'm like this, you great lunk. Oh, now I need a wee.
Still parched. Hello. What's this?
Our impetuous unborn hero has found his mother's bladder filled to overflowing with a little watered wine.
More drink! Chardonnay? I'll try my luck down this hole again. It seems to have widened.
Well, that's odd. I really needed a wee, but now I don't.
What's that, my love?
Look, bit of a mystery. My waters haven't broken, but my belly's deflated quite a bit, and my wee has vanished.
It's a hot day, my love. You probably sweated it away like dew.
I think that was a contraction.
Nature's had 11 months to create a masterpiece.
Yes, but it's not going to be easy squeezing it out. Ooh! Ah! Oh, my belly!
Shall I rub it, my love?
Ouch! Ouchy! Ouchy! Ouch! No!
Courage, my darling. Worry no more. Ah, I'm off for another drink. But midwives are hidden all over the willow grove, ready to answer your cries when the time comes.
But I can't see any.
You will when you need them.
Men. Oh! Ooh! Ah! Yo! Help! It feels like I've got the Inquisition up my bum.
I'm a midwife.
Ah, no, that's not a baby. That's your rectum. I'll just stuff it back in. You've been at the tripe? Oh, sorry, yes. Ah, well, pregnant cravings, eh? We all get them. I ate my husband's shoes. You need your sphincters constricting until the effects of the tripe wear off. Oh, I'll get stitching. There, nothing will get out of there.
Nothing for it. I'll have to go back. Hoist myself up. Yeah, I'll just keep climbing. Oh, this is a slippy, sloppy, spongy sort of dabble.
He finds footholds in her spleen.
Whoops, all over this great slab of flabber.
Pours himself across the great plain of her liver.
Past the great puff and flap. Puff soft and flat sack.
Squirms past her lungs, using her ribcage as a ladder, gaining a foothold on her heart, and gripping Gargamel's collarbones for leverage, up he comes, seeking an entrance into the world. For a moment, he stares out from behind his mother's eyes.
Light. I can see light.
Now he pushes up into her throat, along the food pipe. Then he turns, spots a promising tunnel, and heaves himself out through his mother's left ear.
Merciful marsh gas. The child's out, and it's an odd shape, and an unusual shade, but I love it.
That's a whopping wadge of earwax. Here's the baby. Best give it a bit of a buff.
Boy or girl?
It's
a boy.
Some drink!
Did you hear that?
We did!
More drink!
Why, bless him, he has his father's thirst.
Children emerging from their mothers through unorthodox halls are all wondrous, all champions.
Look at the size of him.
Your dugs are in perfect proportion to the task in hand.
No, they're not. I'll need help.
Name what you need and I'll get it, my love.
Well, taking the current rate of flow per dug as an average, that would mean I've 3,972 carcs per hour. So, just let me do the maths here. Say four, carry one over. I'll need approximately 17,913 cows.
I'll just reach over the hills and pick them.
Oh, my love, you're such a handy husband. Such a practical dad.
I am a dad, aren't I? Well done, good Sir Whopper. Now, let's get him baptized, and then let's celebrate the baptism with more drink, more drink, more drink!
But what are we going to call him?
We could use the first part of your name, Garga. We could call him Garga.
I know. What about Lord Garga?
Ha, 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 la, 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 la.
3 more years pass sweetly enough. Gargantua grows in stature and girth, and his days are filled with food, mess, play, sleep, and mess.
Don't forget the mud and the snot and the other muck.
Gargantua wallowed in mud. His nose was always snotty, his face mottled with muck. He trod down his shoes at the heel and his toes burst out of them at the front. He ran after butterflies and pissed his legs, wiped his nose on his sleeve, shat in his shirt, drank out of his shoe, slobbered everywhere, washed his hands in his soup, sharpened his teeth on his toys, and combed his head with tree roots. He spat and farted and used everything contrary.
Granguzie, what are you doing?
Eating an apple, of course.
Oh, look at the state of him.
What do you mean?
Blindfold me, put him in a sty, and I won't be able to tell him apart from a pig.
I was the same as him at that age.
You're the same as him now, after a few too many.
Don't be too harsh on the lad, eh, Mother?
Oh, but look at the state of him.
Daddy, Mummy! Today I have learnt the best way to wipe my bum.
Oh, see, Mum?
I experimented with cassocks, hassocks, Cossacks, fossicks, bullocks, mollusks, fossils, espadrilles, cheap thrills, mattresses and buttresses. Next, I used your best cloth gloves, Mother.
These ones, Gargantua?
Yes. You can see the print of my bolt hole.
Oh, yes. You can. It's very clear.
Then I went into the garden and used herbs. Knotweed, ragwort, sagwort, soapwort and radishes. Then I lowered the apple tree boughs and used the apples before letting them bounce back. None fell off, despite the weight of khaki on them.
These apples?
Yes, Father.
Keep eating. Don't upset the boy.
Then cakes and bread, hogwattles, almonds, ballybully biscuits, sweetbreads, wattles, scuttles and...
Yes, yes, but which wipe wiped the best?
He wants you to know the full extent of his experiment.
I tried hay,
straw, beeswax, ants' nests, parchment. I went through the whole library and tried each book. Some shut, some open, and others with their pages flapping. And some left illustrations and others definitions, explanations, poems, and flash fiction on my tuck.
And what was the best bum wipe?
A living goose's neck. All the fluffy feathers held between the legs, up against your knockhole, the heat spreading up to the belly and over the heart and up to the brains. The warm, soft neck of a living goose held between your legs is heaven on earth, in my opinion.
Send him to the sorbum.
I know my son's mind is keener than most by his fathoming of arsewipes. I know he's civilized. I'm going to have him taught by the most outstanding philosopher of the day, Monsieur Tubal Holofernes.
Monsieur Toodle Toodle who?
Oh, but first, he needs new clothes. He can't sit in a classroom in this state.
So, dressed beautifully but ridiculously in damask and jewels, Gargantua goes to meet his tutor. Now, reputations are often the jumbled residue left by Chinese whispers. This is particularly true of Monsieur Tubal Holofernes. In fact, it looks as though guesswork dressed him and accident created him. He's thin. He's ramrod thin. He's wizened, with hair like the hackles of a vexed boar and a beard like pine needles shed on pocked cheese. His nostril hairs are waxed to resemble a swallow in flight. Gargantua is mesmerized by the volume of oddity that has come to rest in a man.
I am Monsieur Tubal Holofernes, boy, and I am the best there is. I am the acme, epitome, and Morrissey of the past. I am an epidemic of learning, and I will set you up for a life of debility and yawning. Now sit down. Not there, here.
Yes, sir.
Gargantua, do you know your alphabet?
Yes.
It fills your mouth and you spit it out, that's speech. It's spooned into your ears, that's hearing. It's spread over your brain, that's understanding.
Why can't I taste it when I speak?
You've muddied your palate with mud. Writing is like the stains left on the table in your clothes following a meal. Only these stains are left on parchment. Watch me. I'm a magus, a sorcerer, and when I sneeze, you can swat the word, using a fly swat. Now watch, watch. I'm going to give you a big word. Let me tickle my nose first. Revelation! Got it. You see?
Ooh.
Now look at its shape. Those are its letters. Letters of the alphabet. Now we can see it for what it is. We can study it. Stare.
Can I have a go?
Yes, let's see how well you can manage. Let me tickle my nose first. Restraint! Oh, it's strenuous, isn't it, boy?
Yes.
Well, don't let restraint evade you. Oh, dear. Restraint has eluded you.
Oh, poo.
Well, I'll let it out so it'll hang around the sconce and breed.
Off we go.
Now, I'm here to make a prince of you. A studious prince, a student prince. I'll teach you what you should be and what you should know to be what you should be. And should you eventually be it, and with God's grace you will be prepared for it.
I will? For what?
Ah! For that. Yes! Yes, you have my word. The word of Tubal. Holofernes! 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 Holofernes!
Gargantua remains a merry dunderhead, and Holofernes is still an ineffectual intellectual with the teaching skills of a bedbug. Gargantua looks the same, perhaps a little taller, but five gigantic meals a day means that Monsieur Holofernes' belly bag has developed a distinct convexity. This morning, though, this amiable status quo is about to be interrupted. Grand Gousier has learned through court tittle-tattle that his son may not be the cleverest and best educated child in Christendom. He has competition. Grand Gousier has come to put Gargantua's education to the test.
Ah, Professor Holofernes.
Excuse me for interrupting.
You are welcome to my classroom, sire.
Thank you. There are some people I'd like you to meet.
There are?
I would like to introduce you to Eudemon.
Hello, Monsieur Holofernes. Hello, Prince Gargantua.
Hello, Lemon.
It's Eudemon, not Lemon, Gargantua.
Sorry, Dad.
And who's this with him? He's dressed like me.
This is Eudemon's tutor, the respected Ponocrates.
Oh, the respected Ponocrates, is it?
How old is Eudemon, Monsieur Ponocrates?
He's Gargantua's age and has been tortured in all the necessary moods and shades of modern education by my good self.
I have, Your Majesty.
Well, let's see how much both these clever young boys know. I'd like to compare and contrast. Although I have to say, I have every faith in my own hand-picked pedagogue.
Hand-picked pedagogue? Who's that, then?
You.
Oh, cacking roosters.
Hello, gentlemen.
Queen Diana.
I'd like to watch these fine young scholars, too.
Yes. Yes, it will be marvellous to see these two clever and exquisitely educated lads answering questions and showing off their knowledge. A friendly roustabout of intellectual acumen.
And so it began. Eudemon was asked what he knew. And 4 hours later...
Finally, most people can calculate the square on the hypotenuse, but I can calculate the circle on the hypotenuse and, using my calculations, reconfigure the Archimedes screw.
Very, very well said, Eudemon. Thank you.
Eudemon has been assessed by the austere company of stationers and awarded their top trophy, the Golden Ream.
Does that actually mean anything, Poncho, my friend?
It means he's damn good.
Now for my son, Gargantua.
Yes, father?
What have you learned that will please your father?
Animal impersonations. Ha! Bet you a dodo can't do that.
I must explain.
Yes, sir. I think you must.
We are following a very new educational plan, King Grangousier, Queen Gargamel. Gargantua has learned animal impersonation, since we learn by mimicry. And what better place to start than among the beasts and birds perfected by nature herself? Amazing.
I'm... gobsmacked.
Yes, yes. But now, King Grangousier, Queen Gargamel, this will secure his reputation as a scholar. Gargantua, your pièce de résistance, s'il vous plaît.
What was that?
That is a trump from a dead donkey.
It is it?
It constitutes the finest educational syllabus. I sent off for it specially. Species awareness.
I think I may just kill you, Master Holofernes.
Kill me? Why? What have I done?
You have made my beloved son look a fool!
You certainly did.
Who is he gone? He's disappeared. Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to have to sit down. Oh.
Oh, dear.
Have I,
You've sat on poor Monsieur Holofernes.
Dad swatted him with his bum, Mum.
Yes, Your Majesty, you have.
Oh, can I see?
No, you little ghoul, you can't.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I didn't really mean to kill the poor bastard.
It's all right, Grangousier. You didn't. I did. I placed him on your chair knowing he would be flattened. I'd had enough of him. I'll just roll him up like a piece of parchment, tuck him under my arm and take him with me. Oh, but before I go, can I suggest you hire Ponocrates as Gargantua's tutor and that you pack them off to Paris to complete his, education?
All right. Right, Ponocrates, you heard Monsieur Rabelais. You're hired.
What about me, Monsieur Ponocrates?
Sometimes sacrifices have to be made. You're it.
But
this is a better gig, clear off. Your Majesty, we'll need one very, very, very large horse. And a little one for me. Ah, Paris. It's the Omphalos of the civilized world. It's the belly button of education, the navel of knowledge. But I should warn you, Gargantua, Parisians, despite their erudition and sophistication, crave novelty.
Look at the size of that horse.
Well, never mind that. Look at that gigantic lad sat on that huge horse.
Let me see.
Let me see.
Could you just look up.
Whoa.
Oh, dear. Now we are the center of attention.
I'm going to dismount and sit on this cathedral.
It's Notre Dame, lad. And mind Sainte-Chapelle.
Where?
By your left foot. Yes, that's it.
Oh, good job you said I'd have put my foot through it. As I said, I'm going to rest my buttocks on Notre Dame. And say hello. Hello!
Hello! Well, at least he's not the pillaging sort.
Yeah, but he's only gone and sat on Notre Dame. That's sacrilege.
Don't be daft. Birds land on it, masons climb up it. Monks and nuns race each other across the roof.
Only when you're off your face.
Ooh, he's a proper whopper. Where's he come from? Anyone know? Where are you from?
Shout louder, he's not heard you.
Where are you from? Well, he's not local, is he?
Show them civility, Gargantua. You are a prince. Show deference, interest, chivalry, benevolence, reserve, kindness, and playfulness.
But I need a wee. I'm going to have to wee.
Oh, dear. Well, aim for the Seine.
I will.
Tell them it's wine. Then they won't take offence. They'll think you're generous, not decanting your bladder.
Would you like some wine, my friends?
Oh, he's got wine.
Where's the bottle?
Maybe it's a cask.
Here it is.
Oh. That's not a bottle or a cask. That's his... Don't ask.
And like most boys, his aim is off. And Gargantua's deluge begins to flood Paris.
Ring the bell. This is an emergency. Slash flood, urine torrent.
Giant alert.
Ring the bells. Ring the bells.
Whoops.
No need. These piss ringing the bells.
Gargantua, look what you've done. Half Paris will be washed away unless you divert the flow.
Oh, the bells are piss-drip ringing.
But I aimed for the river, I really did.
I know, Gargantua, we've all fallen wide of the mark.
They shouldn't have built everything so close together.
It's a city, that's what cities are. Huddles, heaps, clutters. But you've got to do something. Half the citizens are drowning.
I'll bail out the streets. But what with... Oh, those bells are very loud. They're very big bells, aren't they? Scoop, bail, huge bells. Ha-ha, I'll use the big bells. Brilliant, perfect.
Give me strength. He corrects one outrage by committing another.
Where shall I tip it?
Throw it clear of the city.
Yellow rain!
Whoops, not quite far enough. Je suis désolé. Try again.
Much better, Gargantua. That will have fallen comparatively harmlessly on the outlying fields, I hope.
Do you know, I'm enjoying myself. I like Paris.
Keep bailing, lad. Keep bailing.
Oh, I think I'm going to fit in here quite nicely.
Oh, the delusions of youth.
Meanwhile, on the piss-flooded streets of Paris...
Swallowed some!
Quick, skewer apples together on these old lances. Tie rows of apples lances together. Need a life raft. Apples, pulse!
You want a full batch of apples?
Onions. Try onions.
Right, onions. Nearly done. Nearly done. Almost there.
Oh, not onions. Try pears. Pears, everyone.
Hey, I rather like these bells. You know what? I'm going to hang them round my mare's neck, and then I'll send her back home loaded with souvenirs of Paris. Brie, fresh herrings, a moulin or two.
The Parisians won't like you taking their bells, Gargantua.
Why?
They believe their bells keep out hurricanes and devils and bring chocolate from the Pope at Easter.
The bells bring chocolate.
Just put them back, lad. It's stealing.
I'm hanging them around my mare's neck.
Mark my words, Gargantua. There will be repercussions.
In the town hall, the enraged citizens plot their revenge.
It's an insult. It's an insult. Any old giant rides into the city, barks his bum on the cathedral, he micturates like a cow, and starts unhooking the bells and pocketing them. It's theft. He's a pickpocket.
Yeah.
If belfries can be considered a type of pocket or purse, and the bells are the loose change we rattle when we walk past beggars. Now, also, them bells... they are consecrated bells. Yeah. Church property they are. There's church history. Church music. Church mascots.
Do churches have mascots?
Look, we have to make a stand.
Well, off you go then. Tell us how you get on.
Hello? Monsieur?
Oh, who cut your hair?
What? I did.
It's flat. Let me give it a little tousle.
What? Oh, ow!
That's taken 10 years off your face.
No, just give us the bells back.
Why?
Well, they keep the hurricanes away and draw the angels near by keeping the devils at bay. And they fetch chocolate from the poor Batista.
Excuse me, I couldn't help it over here.
Pardon?
Excuse me, I couldn't help but over here.
No, it's no good. I can't hear you. I tell you what, I'll pick you up. And set you down on this gargoyle.
Excuse me. I couldn't help but overhear. Not now the bells have gone and it's quiet.
Yes?
I'm delighted they've gone. If you have to replace them, put up bells made of cloth with a stuffed glove for a clapper. I mean... in the past.
Bing, bong, bang, gong!
How could a man think?
That's heresy, that is!
It's no such thing.
Bing!
It's looking for merciful quiet, but bong! Every quarter hour, bong! They're ringing out. Then there's the bell practices, and they keep on bing! Because they are perfectionists. Bong! And the time between each tolling is filled, bing! With practicing, and the mind melts. Badong! Before I write it down, all my written words have shifted through alliteration to onomatopoeia.
This man is a human bell. Stand him in your belfries. Share him. Swap him around. He's as good. He's probably better. Get him to train up an apprentice. We'll make it a new Parisian trade.
Leave me out of your bing-dong-ding-bong plans, will you? I'll choose what I ring-dingle-ding want to bong. Just because you're a tinkle-clang giant.
I'm putting you in this belfry, Mr. Bell Imitator, and you can start work.
Ding dong, I don't want to bing, I don't want to bong.
You'll get used to it.
Ha 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 la 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 la.
So good morning, Gargantua. Let us hope that our second day in Paris is a little quieter than our first. Now you have finished breakfast, I propose that we start straight away with your lessons. Nothing too taxing, not just yet.
So, what am I to study first, Ponocrates?
Games. Play seems to be your natural element. I shall teach you through games. This is Climb the Ladder. Billy Batterbum. The Cornish Cob. Joanne Thompson. The Hardit Arse Percy. Mustard Peel. At Fell Down and Todd's Body. At Trill, Madam, or Grapple My Lady. Twirly Whirly Trill. At Rub and Rice. At the Soily Smutchy. At Pinch Without Laughing. At Nivy 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 Neck. Span Counter. At the Peenier. Handruff. And the Last Couple in Hell. Right, Gargantua, let's see how good you are at Nivy 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 Neck. Throw the dice. 3. You go first.
Go where? I don't know how to play Nivy 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 Neck.
It's easy. You have the wooden monk as your counter.
All right, I'll call him Brother Jean.
Move him 3 paces towards the fire. And I'll be this one, St. Peter, swinging on the pearly gates to test the hinges. I throw the dice. 6. The 3, which you threw, goes twice into 6, so I can nivy-nivy-nivy-nack you twice.
8 hours later, it is indeed a long game.
Now you can enjoy a few hours of quiet and solitary study.
Solitary study? Me on my own?
Solo scholarship. It's a chance to exercise self-discipline, restraint.
I never got restraint. See you later!
Here, that giant, Gargantua,
yeah.
He's only eating the market.
Oh, never.
Eating the market?
He's eating them, wrap the awnings round the stalls, swallow them.
Oh.
He ate several market traders, but no, I don't think that were intentional.
Well, we have to act now.
Winter's here, eh? We'll freeze because he smashed our buildings. We'll starve because he's taken our food. However, his coat's got enough cloth in to make outfits for every man, woman and child, as well as some pretty ostentatious horse blankets. Have you seen the jewels on his codpiece?
Never.
See, they'd pay for all the damage 1,000 times over.
How are we going to get them off him?
Oh, I've got a plan. Well, he may be a giant, but he's as innocent as a newborn babe.
Oh, yes.
He won't have played cards or gambled before.
Oh, we play him for them.
We cheat, we win. He gets his comeuppance.
Then we administer the enema.
What's the connection?
Ah, see, it's an enema full of herbs to induce forgetfulness.
Oh!
Eyes, he'll forget his misdeeds. He'll forget that he likes to play tricks on us. And I've got it all ready, including a customised nozzle made from a wine vat and a herd of goats to ram it into place.
Goats.
We give the giant the enema to cleanse his mind and end his aberrant behaviour. But first, get his clothes.
Yeah! Yeah.
Ah, Paris. Where shall I go to study? What should I study? Up till now, there's always been a tutor in it. Blah, blah, blah.
Oi, watch it! You've smashed the chapel of St. Rabina's left buttock.
Oops, sorry. It's all right, look, I'm putting the bits back. See, here's the little bum cheek.
You'll be a lot less of an hazard if you stay put. Why don't you come down here? Play cards with us. We'd like to get to know you a bit better.
Yes, come and play.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'd like that. I'll learn through play.
That's it. Sit in the Tuileries and I'll deal, shall I?
La, 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 la.
Avert your children's eyes. Now, whatever you do, don't look up.
Oh, it's stupendously pendulous.
Oh,
my lord, Gargantua, where are your clothes?
I lost them at cards.
Ah, we won them from him. Not quite fairly, but we did. We've got our own back on him, the great wanton buffoon.
Aye.
Give me strength, Gargantua. You have disappointed me. More than that, you have let down your father by running round Paris in the buff.
Oh, you're not going to tell him, are you?
No, 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 no. But I'm going to have to ask your mum to send you more clothes. In the meantime, I shall ask to borrow some man-o'-war ship sails so you at least have a loincloth.
And there's something else.
Oh?
The citizens of Paris are waiting to administer an enema.
A what-ema?
Ah, using the herbs of correction. Rue, Pemlick, Carfalodi and Hop Arse. I can smell them.
That is not so much a punishment as a corrective. It will obliterate the defects in your education. It will appease them somewhat. It will wipe your slate clean. Now, squat, please, Gargantua.
We'll leave Gargantua for a little while and travel a country road where the cake bakers of King Picricole are about to pass through Grand Gousier's lands and meet Grand Gousier's shepherds who have fetched their flock to winter pastures.
Hi, cake makers. We'll swap you a flagon of wine for some of your cakes. How about it?
No swap, please.
you want, you buy, matey.
You're not going to miss a few cakes. You've got 16 wagon loads there.
We're not a charity, you blutch coodle grattles, slangums, ninny hammer doddy, old job and all net slappers and calf lunnies.
What did she just call us?
You flouting drawlax loobies, forlorn snakes, chicken shepherds.
Oh, you're quite a charmer, aren't you?
These cakes are for the likes of you. You lot of cheap loaves, old loaves, dry crusts, that's you. These are upper crust, top drawer, best echelon Christmas cakes.
Look, we'll pay you for them. We just want a couple of mince pies.
Eat my brown house, old loaf knobblehead. Eat my bolly mongrel with millet.
Fight, 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 fight.
Stop, stop, I've got money.
Continue. This is a serious bunfire. And I have a stale madeleine.
Help! Help! Help, murder! The cake makers are murdering me! Help! Help!
We are in the presence of King Picricole, an idiot. A very fat, continually cake-munching idiot.
I'm King Cakey Pig.
You can tell an idiot by the company he keeps and the thoughts he dismisses.
So I'm listening, cake baker. Tell me what wrong has been done to you and by whom. You've lost my sainted cakes because...
Grunguchio's shepherds attacked and robbed us. See this? The sheep's still attached to my rump.
Cake thieves! Oh, I have no alternative but to declare war on Grangousier. Pass me that ghetto.
Pass the king's ghetto!
Pass the king's ghetto!
Pass the king's ghetto!
Here you are, mate.
Here you are, mate.
Here you are, mate. Your Majesty.
Admiral Shadrach, can any of your ships follow the rivers to Grangousier's land? Are the rivers deep enough and the ships sufficiently narrow?
Aye, aye, King Picricole, they can. They are, they do, they will.
Captain Swillwind.
Yes, King Picricole.
Assemble my troops and march them into Grangousier's lands. Lay waste to his harvest, raise his villages. And fetch any cakes back that you capture as compensation for the loss of our just desserts. Of just our desserts.
Yes, King Picricole.
Let Grangousier eat brioche.
Let him eat brioche.
War creates many heroes, but none as bold, brave, and monkish as the one you're about to witness. King Picricole's men, sailors and soldiers, have invaded a certain monastery vineyard and are met by a certain man of the cloth called Friar Jean.
Cops, body! Should enemy burn me as freely as a faggot if they take our grapes or taste one drop of our wine? Staff, shaft, or truncheon of the cross! I'm coming at ya!
Dearest Gargantua, I am sorry to bring you home, son, disrupting your earnest studies, but I need your help. We are being attacked by King Picricole's militia, and I don't know why. I will attempt to moderate his anger. I am sending a friendly envoy to discover the cause of his wrath and how he can be recompensed. Love from your dad. Oh, Mum sends her love too. Kiss, 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 kiss.
La, 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 la.
So, King Grangousier's chosen envoy.
That's me in a nutshell.
You want to know what this war is about, eh?
Well, yes, it would help.
Cakes, sir. Cakes. Iced buns. Flapjacks. Fig rolls. Battenbergs. Fondant fancies.
Sorry?
I've written it all down for you to take back. On a cannonball.
Around a cannonball.
Dear Lord, Picricole has lost his marbles.
Sire.
Are you all right? Did you discover why Picricole's declared war?
King Picrocole just kept going on about cakes, sire. He was also eating cakes, sire, non-stop.
He shot you with a cannonball whilst consuming cakes? The cakey pig. Power has unsettled his mind. The devil has the two halves of his brain in each hand, and when he bangs them together, Picrocole speaks.
His message is written on this cannonball.
Dear King Grangousier, this next bit is illegible. Let me clear the suit. And intestine. That's better. Now, cakes, puddings, desserts, and, more to the point, my mince pies, my plum puddings, my Yule logs, yes, my sacred Bush de Noël, are the root cause of this war.
Mm-hmm. Cakes have caused a war?
I'm afraid so, my dear.
Would you mind putting the cannonball back, sire? My belly feels a bit drafty without it, to be honest, Your Majesty.
Gargantua and Ponocrates have returned to Grangousier's realm. Gargantua is nervous, as any young man would be summarily summoned to face an enemy when he has never been called to fight before.
Technically, it is a bun fight.
But does that make it a just war?
A just desserts war, certainly. But one without reason or merit. Your father is entirely honourable in his wish to see everything resolved without bloodshed.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
There's a friar running after us.
You go, Gargantua, Grangousier, I said.
Yes.
We are riding into an ambush.
We are?
And they know you're coming. They intercepted the post. Then they put the letter back in the post, so you got it after they'd read it.
Who are you?
Well, I'm fighting Friar John from the local monastery.
Why? Has Friar John done something wrong?
No, I'm not fighting Friar John. I'm fighting Friar John. And Picrocole's men are all rascally rogues, plunderers, thieves, and ignorant of military discipline and tactics. I beat them off when they attacked my monastery. By my holy Saint Left Hook, I plain song their asses and matins them senseless. And now I will fight alongside you, half.
I've never fought before.
I neither had I until yesterday. I'm just a wiry, genuflecting, vineyard-tending little monk.
Oh, dear. I'm scared.
Gargantua, your father may well lose his kingdom to a violent, cake-stuffing twit. It is time to behave like the prince you are. It is your duty to protect your parents and your people.
I always imagined there would be peace. I thought all the fighting was in the past.
But you see the tonsure? The sandals, the rosary. Oh, but voila! The razor knuckles. The unexpected.
Ooh, wait a minute, Ponocrates. My mare needs a piss.
Well, look!
Bloody hell, it's a pitchless flood!
Oh! She's bust out the ambush.
Friar Jean, I'll hoist you onto my mare.
No!
Giddy up! Yeah!
Tactically speaking, the best way to stop an army is to prevent it moving. Now, your mare is so tall, you get a great view, Gargantua. You see? There's Picrocole's army over the next hill to the east. If we three shout halt, they'll stop.
Let's give it a go.
Halt!
Someone shout his halt.
We now have a tactical advantage.
Can I just point out, there's a lot of them, soldiers.
There's a lot of us. Not numerically, but volume-wise.
Wait, wait, look at that. Their cannons aren't harnessed to horses. They've attached them to rising dough.
Yes, don't you see? As the dough continues to rise, the cannons are dragged forwards and raised. The cannons will get a better shot at your parents' castle.
Well, I've heard about this. The bakers create such a strong dough that saints have risen to heaven sitting on the top of a batch loaf. Holy yeast!
Come on, gentlemen, think. We want to stop this army in the most peaceful manner possible.
We have to attack the bread dough. Does it have a natural enemy?
The thing that stops bread rising is intense heat.
What's the best source of heat?
Piss.
Hardly.
Fire.
Fire, correct. What's the best source of fire?
Volcanoes.
Almost.
Hell!
Wrong direction.
The sun?
Yes!
I don't see how that's going to solve the problem. I mean, the sun's shining right now, isn't it?
Yes, but think about it. You're a giant.
Well, undeniably.
You can change height at will.
Yes.
The thing that stops a rising loaf in its tracks is an oven. The Earth has its own oven. Normally, we're on slow cook, but...
Oh! The sun! The sun, that's the answer, isn't it? Fetch the sun a little closer and focus it on the batch loaves dragging the cannons.
We could incinerate it. Choke the troops with smoke, make them flee.
And how am I supposed to make the sun come closer? I can't grab it with my bare hands. And it's winter, it's far away.
Use the bells of Notre Dame as tongs. Gently pincer the sun and move it closer.
You can use my lucky stained glass window. I'll keep it on a rope round my neck, down my tunic. Well, that's a lens to focus the rays.
I'll calculate how tall you need to be. The angle of refraction. Let N be and carry. Oh, you need to be 72,750 toys tall. The angle of refraction is 97 degrees. Off you go, lad.
So Gargantua swells up like a good one. It takes effort. It takes meddlers. It takes concentration.
Oh, hello. That's unusual. A visitor. Hey.
Ah, bonjour, Madame Soleil. I need you to come a bit closer to Earth and shine through this stained glass window.
Oh, it's winter. I'm on vacation.
But I'm trying to end a war by peaceful means.
How are you going to manage that? Diplomacy? No, diplomacy is for averting war. Once it's started, everyone's got their dander up, darling.
We just want to immobilize the enemy's troops. Well, their weapons of mass dough, actually.
Weapons of mass dough? And where are they?
There. Can you see where they fasten cannons to proving dough? The dough rises and spreads, so the cannons are drawn closer and higher, and they're all aimed at my parents' castle.
Oh, yes. Cunning.
They declared war because of cakes.
Hostilities are based on the patisserie and the boulangerie. C'est incroyable, sweetie.
Yes, it is, yes. Look, King Picrocole is a cakey pig on a permanent sugar jag. His brain must be jammed by now.
Do you know, young noble giant, I will help. But I can't move because I'm still and your earth goes round me.
I don't think so.
Oh, look, pincer me closer with your bells. Place that little window in front of my burning golden mass. I'll give it my best burn.
Thank you so much. You have gently ended a war.
You're very welcome, darling. See you in spring, when your earth has moved closer to me.
What?
No, forget it.
Is it me? Or has it suddenly gone very off? The dough's melting and smouldering. The cannons are molten and running.
Well done, Gargantua.
What a man!
While you're still a bit bigger than normal, there's something you can do to put the finishing touches to the piece you've wrought.
And what's that, Monsieur Rabelais?
Lay your tongue across them. It's long enough. Immobilize them. Then they'll really know it's all over.
Aha! Good idea!
And so the war ends. King Picrocole's captured and taken to Grand Gousier and Gargamel's castle, still stuffing his face.
Son!
Father!
Egg tart!
Son!
Mother!
Marsh pain! The war is over. You and your companions and tutor
have ended King Picrocole's cake-induced madness. Son, you have proved yourself a worthy prince and a true man.
I cacked myself.
You know, I thought you had.
You'll grow out of it. When the time comes, you will be a fine and just ruler.
I demand death by Yule log.
Ooh, you haven't met Friar Jean. He single-handedly...
Plum pudding mince pies!
...routed a whole battalion, as well as helping us take King Picrocole's castle.
You must be rewarded, Friar Jean.
Tell me how I can repay you. What would you like if you could have anything?
A gingerbread man and jam pigs! I'm the cakey pig! I'd like to be provost of my own university. Lemon slices! I'd run it in a very special way. No fees, marriage and civil partnerships available to all students. There would be joy, even in the corridors. There would be doctorates in matrimony. King Picrocole can run the canteen. Puddings every day, cakes at break time. Do what thou wilt shall be the university's motto.
I'll drink to that.
We all will. And I will have Ponocrates as my vice-chancellor and Gargantua as my first and finest student.
A toast to the perfect education.
So raise a glass once more to the glorious giants and to the joys of the senses. Next week, I will tell you about Gargantua's son, Pantagruel, and his best friend, Panurge, and their quest to discover if marriage is the right thing for them. And are they right in thinking that if you fear being cuckolded, it is wise to make a pact with your best friend so that he will cuckold you and you will cuckold him? Oh, friendship, what a ship of fools it can be. So join me for a tale of strange voyages, oracles, windmills, thievery, and gluttony. Here's to your heart, your health, and your hearth, my very good friends. And in the intervening week, may love unite your merry loins.
Gargantua was played by Robert Wilfort. Rabelais, David Troughton. Grand Gousier, Eric Potts, and Gargamel, Melissa Jane Sinden. Holofernes and Friar Jean were played by Jonathan Keeble, Ponocrates, Malcolm Rayburn, and Oudemon and the Sun were played by Catherine Hunt. Gargantua and Pantagruel by Francois Rabelais was dramatised by Lavinia Murray and produced in Salford by Gary Brown.
And the concluding episode of Gargantua and Pantagruel is on at the same time next week. After the news, you can hear Joe Brand's choice of funniest book in Open Book. Before that...
Wanted. Retired Army Captain for Light Household Duties.
2 weeks of stories over on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Must tolerate mild eccentricity...
From the man who's seen it all.
Knowledge of prehistoric monsters, a positive boon.
He's back.
Welcome to the nest, Captain Yates.
It was the Doctor.
Starring Tom Baker as the Time Lord with a problem to solve.
This work you're doing here, it has got to stop.
Doctor Who, The Hornet's Nest, starts tomorrow night at 6 and again at midnight over on BBC Radio 4 Extra.